that I'm going to attempt to share. So I pray that you will cleanse my heart. Make it okay for me to be able to speak your words today to your people and to myself. And if only one person takes this to heart and lives it, for you, Lord, it will be worthwhile, and all glory is yours. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So first, let me just say thank you to everyone that has served this morning. I can't play any instruments, really. And folks know I have 6 guitars and I can't play any of them. That's a blessing. The gift of music is such a blessing. It's so soothing to the soul. Thank you for sharing with us this morning. And Diane, thank you. It's so much different than the canned organ thing we have to do when you're not here. Just saying. And to our young people that are so brave to step up and serve, thank you. Okay, there she is. Thank you. And Darren, that was a little bit different on your prayer, and it caught my attention. He recognized every service that was done this morning and everyone that served, and he recognized our ministries and prayed over our ministries. And for a very young man, thank you for that. It's very good. And I hope I didn't miss anybody, but thanks to all of you guys. Okay, so today, this message, sometimes I feel like the message needs to be heavier than what today is. I'll just tell you up front. Sometimes I feel like there needs to be more teeth, more the end is near, more present truth, more this is what's happening in the world. But the message is never to be mine. It has to be God's message. And, you know, I listened to a sermon today that was shared earlier in the week by Pastor Conrad Vine, Entropy. You guys know what that is? Yeah, think of it like this. You heard the story about the frog in the pot? You put a frog in a pot of cold water and he's just swimming, and you turn that fire up a little bit and he just gets used to the warm water and he doesn't realize a change. And then you turn that fire up some more and he just gets used to the hot water and just adapts and doesn't realize it's hot until it cooks him, you know. And sometimes people just don't notice what's happening. They're so distracted by everything around them, and then they so adapt to the changes rather than say, that's not a good change. What if that frog said, oh, this is hot, I'm hopping out of here? He'd be alive, wouldn't he? And sometimes, as God's people, sometimes folks in leadership don't realize what they're doing when they just adapt to the ways of the world. And sometimes we, as God's people, don't realize what we're doing by remaining silent. But that's a sermon for another day. That's kind of the type of sermon I was talking about when I started that I think I need to preach. But this message today is what the Lord has laid on my heart. If you would switch back to the slide with the, listen to my voice. In John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them what? Eternal life. And what else? They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Oftentimes, we hear, but we don't adhere. We hear God calling, but I'm busy right now, and I don't follow him. But God is saying, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And as a result of that, them not being indifferent, them not simply adapting to the ways of the world and thinking that's okay, them recognizing my voice calling them and they follow me because of their obedience, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. Neither shall any man, Satan or otherwise, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. The words of God. So I'm going to start with sharing, I'm going to call this a parable. And I'll tell you why I say that. Who has heard of the Baptist preacher David Gibbs Jr.? He's a Baptist minister. And look, I listen to all kinds of preachers because they preach the word of God. Okay? When they differ on doctrine, I'll raise an eyebrow and I'll question that. But they're preaching out of the word that I read as well. So I listened to some of this, and then I said, you always verify your sources. I'll tell you what, I say this jokingly, AI is the devil. Y'all think AI is so easy. You put a picture in there, AI, make that look good. And all of a sudden, I'm handsome. It's the craziest thing. AI is the devil. Don't say I didn't warn you next year. Okay. That aside, David Gibbs Jr. actually was a lawyer, part of a law firm. And he started the CLA, Christian Lawyers Association, and they do nonprofit services for churches that are in trouble or face problems with, say, government oppressing them. They take on the cases pro bono. So he's part of that. But he's also, I don't know if he was a preacher then or if he became a preacher later. At any rate, every so often, he starts with a story. It's kind of amusing or otherwise, and he builds the sermon around that. And I thought this story was so interesting, but check your sources. And there was so much contention around it. Some saying there's no way that happened. He spun it like it was an experience of his own life, right? And some said that's not possible. And some say it can't be verified. There's nothing in the newspapers. There's nothing on the internet. And they go back and forth. So since I don't know, I'm going to say it's a parable. Whether it's an actual life event or not, I do not know. Okay, here we go. He and his partner, they go to the Aleutian Islands to deal with a lawsuit. They're done. They're leaving. They got to fly back to Anchorage, Alaska, and then fly home. I think home is Alabama. So he's got his ticket. He's ready to go. They're done dealing with the lawsuit or whatever and the church they're helping and all. This pastor runs up to him and says, hey, let me fly you guys to Anchorage, save you some money. I have my plane. And Mr. Gibbs is like, well, I appreciate that, but, you know, we have our tickets. We're okay. He said, no. I'll save you some money. Come on, fly with me. Against his better judgment, he says, okay. So they walk out, go to the airport. They walk out to the plane and the hangar, little small plane, three-seater, right? So, again, he's pretty nervous now, wondering why he said okay when he's got a ticket in his hand for a perfectly good big airplane with a professional pilot. But he's going, and they walk around the plane. It's nice and shiny, so he says, all right, that's okay. They get in there, crank it. It starts right up. He says, okay, good signs. So the pastor slash pilot is in the left front seat. David Gibbs Jr. in the right seat. His partner behind him, third seat. They start taxiing down the runway. Everything's looking good. And he looks at that pastor. He says, shouldn't we pray or something? And the pastor said, I always forget that. But yeah, that's a good idea. Go ahead, you pray. So he starts praying all the way through the taxi. He said, I must have prayed 5 minutes. And they take off, and the plane is going up, and it's leveling out, and all of a sudden, he's relaxed. Everything is good. This guy actually does know how to fly. And I saved some money, not needing to use this ticket. They get up a good bit. They've been flying for about 3 or 4 minutes or so, you know. And then the pilot slash pastor looks over at David and says, hey, listen, if we get up in clouds, I don't do well in clouds. I might pass out. So David is like, you might what? You don't do well in what? And he's looking around all the clouds up there, you know? Well, they got to go up in the clouds. That's just what planes do, I guess. This isn't crop dusting. So they get up there, and sure enough, that pilot looks over at him, and Mr. Gibbs says his eyes roll back in his head, and sure enough, he just goes to sleep. So you got two lawyers in this plane, and a passed out unconscious pilot slash pastor. Well, he's passed out, so he isn't praying right now. And that plane is going, and he is like losing his mind. And his buddy back there says, "We're going to die, aren't we?" And David said, "You know, yeah, I think there's a good chance we're going to die." The guy back said, "What should I do? What can we do?" He said, "You know what? That looks like a radio. Grab that and start calling for some help." So he grabs the little, "Hello, hello, 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 anybody there?" And then finally, somebody answers, "Hello, don't you guys have any knowledge of radio etiquette?" And David grabs the, "No, we don't. We don't know nothing about nothing up here. Neither one of us know how to fly, and the pilot passed out." The guy on the other end of the radio says, "He what? And nobody can fly the plane?" He said, "Listen, I'm a freight liner. I'm heading from Anchorage to Tokyo. I'm going to start circling, because if I keep going, I'm going to lose you on the radio out of range. I'm going to circle and talk to you for a minute." He said, "Listen, let me try to get the Anchorage Emergency Services. They are the only ones who could probably help you survive this thing." So, you know, a couple minutes go by, and another voice comes on. "This is Tower." So Anchorage Tower is on. "I understand the pilot has passed out, and nobody on the plane can fly. Is that correct?" "You got that right. I don't know what to do, and we're going to die." So the guy on the other end of the radio says some things to him. And it's interesting. Let's see where I'm at here. So the guy on the radio says, "The first thing I got to do is find you. You're in a sea of airplanes right now." So he says, "Do me a favor. You see the yoke right there? Turn to the left for me." So Mr. Gibbs grabs the thing. He goes left. He says, okay. "Look, do me a favor. Turn to the right." So he says, "Okay." So he's turning to the right. And he says, "Okay, now turn to the left." He says, "I just turned to the left. What are you doing?" And he says, "Do me a favor. Just listen to my voice. Turn to the left." He turns again and says, "Okay, I've got you. I see you now. In all these airplanes, I know who you are and where you are." He says, "Listen to me very carefully. In about 4 minutes, you're going to crash into a mountain and die." "Well, what good are you to me?" He said, "Don't panic. If you don't listen to my voice, in 4 minutes or less, you will crash into a mountain and die. Just listen to my voice, obey my commands, and I will get you home." So he starts telling him what to do, what buttons to push, what to pull, how to lean, and he gets them past the mountain, and they're on their way. And then he comes back after a few minutes and says, "Listen, I've frozen all traffic. We have a clear path. It's going to be about an hour and a half. And I'm going to talk you through this flight to Anchorage." He said, "It's going to be bumpy." He said, "You see that weather out there? All that storms? Don't look at it. I know you're scared. Don't look at it. Don't listen to it. The only thing you need to do if you want to live, listen to my voice." So Mr. Gibbs says, "Here I am, and I've got nothing, nothing." He says, "I'm up here flying this plane, no idea how this is happening. I've got nothing except this voice." So he doesn't question him. He agrees. "Tell me what to do. I'm listening." And that's really interesting in this parable, because one day, if you hadn't already, me and you are going to realize we have nothing except what? The voice of our Savior. Other than that, we have nothing. We think we have stuff. We think we have a direction. We think we're okay. But one day we're going to learn, without that voice, just like David gives and his partner in this aircraft in the clouds where they can't see any structures or anything approaching. If there's a plane in front, they don't know. The only thing they have to cling to for survival is the voice, nothing else. So he says, don't focus on the storm. Focus on my voice. And this is interesting. He says, if you start watching the storm, Mr. Gibbs, you will die. That kind of reminded me of Peter, don't you think? Peter is walking on water. Anybody remember that? And he's looking, hold on, Jesus, here I come. And he is walking on water, and he starts feeling himself, look at me, and he looks around, and all of a sudden, he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and what happens? He got nothing without Jesus, right? He starts to sink, and he cries out, Lord, save me. Only by the strength and the power and the command of Jesus are we alive and surviving today. Because you know, God tells us the rain will fall on the just and the unjust. Those who say they're surviving, even though they don't believe in God, they don't realize they're surviving because God is allowing them to. Because God is blessing them in spite of their ways and their choices. Since tower cleared traffic, you've got all these Freightliners and Boeing 747s. They're just kind of circling, waiting to get back on track. But tower control cleared the path all the way for this little tiny plane. So these experienced men in these planes, they get on the radio, and they start to encourage Mr. Gibbs and his partner. We're rooting for you guys, and we are praying for you. You're going to be okay. Just make sure you listen. Just make sure you listen to the voice. They know from experience that tower control has the big picture and understands what's ahead of them. And they trust tower control to clear traffic, to put them on the right path, to bring them in when it's their right turn. From their experience, they're encouraging these novices, these beginners. Because believe me, even though he's hearing the voice, he's not experienced, David Gibbs, and he is scared out of his mind. So the brethren will encourage us from their experience. When we go through life, we're going to fall. Because this world will beat us down. The Word of God tells us that, and we're assured of it because we've seen the examples and the experiences. But when we learn what picks us back up, the power of the God that we serve, when we learn who cares about us, the voice of God that we hear, then and only then do we start to build this confidence in Christ, this understanding that He's going to take care of us. And when we have that assurance, then it becomes our responsibility to tell those who are new in the flock, who are not so sure yet, I know you're scared. It's going to be okay. I've learned to trust the voice of God. Just trust God. He's going to work this out for you. Amen? So all these guys, these pilots, they're encouraging them. You know, it's going to be okay. Just hang on there. Thank you. I'm still on the parable. He's already flashed me 15 minutes. Gotta get going here. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. You see, Paul started out arguing with these philosophy Greeks and these hardline Jews and trying to play their game, you know, and talk in their circles. They were still, there's the rain, we're going to be here for a while. They were still focused on them, not on God, right? Because we knew the Jewish nation missed the boat with Jesus when they didn't accept him as the Messiah. They were still continuing in their traditions. The Greeks, they're all about their pantheons and their amphitheaters and how smart they are and their philosophies and everything. And they're not focused on God. They have a God for everything. And Paul finally says, you know what? Stop conforming to the world. The world is still dealing with these animal sacrifices and everything. Jesus has already paid the price. Just make your life a living sacrifice each and every day for him in obedience now. Paul changed the rhetoric and changed the playing field, if you will, at that point. They got through the worst of the weather. They came back. They get close to the airport, and he says, okay, now I'm going to line you up. The voice on the radio, I'm going to line you up. When you get in here, you're going to see some lights on the runway. Again, listen carefully to me. When you see these lights, it's going to look like a cross. Line yourself up and just keep this one thought in your mind. The cross is home. This is what Tower Control told David Gibbs. The cross is home. So they start descending a little bit down. He's walking them through it. And he can finally see the runway and says, sure enough, it looks just like a cross down there. That's the only thing I can see. Everything is pitch black, but I can see these lights and it looks like a cross. I'm heading for it. And with this Tower Control talking him through it, he said, I landed the plane. Seven times, but I landed the plane. So they put them up in a motel. Tomorrow they're going to make their final flight home, I guess, to Alabama. And in the wee hours of the morning, he hears a knock on his door. He opens the door, and he says, the guy says, hello, David, how are you? And Mr. Gibbs says, you're the voice. He said, I am. He says, you're the one that saved my life. The guy says, thanks for listening. You do not know how many times I have had to walk them home, to guide them home. And I beg them, listen to the voice. But they don't. They're in their own heads. They don't listen to what I'm trying to do for them. They don't trust. And they wind up crashing and burning and ending their lives. They self-destruct because they will not listen. Do you think it's necessary to listen to God anymore? Well, let me ask you something. We have the Bible. We got the blueprint. We got the plans. We know how salvation works. We know Jesus is coming back. We got all the examples from the patriarchs and the prophets and the kings. We know what to do. Just, you know, follow the guidelines there and we'll get to heaven, right? When we get to a point where we feel we know and we no longer need God, we are on the precipice about to crash and burn. Can you understand that? When we think we know that much, we know enough. And it makes me think back to some of the, and I'm careful how I say this because I don't want you to take it the wrong way. But when our church leaders, after decades of leadership and education and training and building this and building that and opening in another country, they think they know everything. And they no longer need to listen to the voice of God. And I gotta tell you, there's a problem there that they cannot see. Of course, that's a sermon for another day. But it's clear there's a problem there that many of our leaders cannot see. They're at risk of. though we know how salvation unfolds, though we know Jesus is coming back, what is our place to say, Jesus, I got this. Jesus, I understand. I know you're busy. You got a whole world, a whole galaxy to run. It's okay. Don't worry about me. I can take care of me. I'll see you when you come back. Does that put you in heaven? Does that align you with the Lord? Is that the will of God? You're not sure? No, it does not. It does not work. Many people believe they don't need God without admitting or saying out loud they don't need God. We need God in every single day, in every single activity. If God pauses for 1 second and you can't breathe, how long do you live? We need God. Don't fool yourself into thinking you're self-sufficient, you're intelligent, you're wise, you're learned, you know what to do. You got this. You don't got this. Like the man said, I got nothing without the voice of God. Doesn't the Bible demonstrate the effects and the impact of listening to God? You know, a lot of people don't read the Bible anymore. A lot of people in church don't read the Bible anymore. They don't need to. They got the general idea, right? Thank you. Amen. They think they got a general idea. They don't really need to read the Word of God. I will tell you, I've been reading God's Word for over 50 years. And I oftentimes read something for the umpteenth time and have an aha moment. How is that possible? You read the same thing for decades and all of a sudden it clicks. It makes sense. If I had said way back then, I got this, I don't need to read the Word of God, how much would I miss of God's intent for my life, of God's guidance in my life, of God's direction for my life, when I think I got this, not realizing I got nothing without God's voice guiding me? We need to be in the Word of God. Here's the thing. God spoke to men of old. 4,000 years ago, God spoke to his patriarchs and his prophets and the kings. Did he not? Think about Elijah. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of prophets in the Bible, but that dude Elijah, woo, he didn't even die. God took him. Amen? He was so dedicated, so devoted, so stand alone, so stand on my own. All of you can go your way. I stand with God to the point that God said, come home. But here's the thing about Elijah. Even Elijah got discouraged, despondent, upset when Jezebel said, after he killed 450 of Baal prophets, if I don't do the same to you by this time tomorrow, may I suffer the same fate. This is the queen of the entire country. He ran. He ran. And he said, Lord, I'm the only one left, and now they want to kill me. Just let me die. And God leads him still. God feeds him. The angel is there. Cook him the cakes, have the raven bring him food, set up the one place where there's actually some water in the land still, the brook of Cherith. Takes care of him. He finally gets out to the mountain. He's looking for God. He's God's man, right? He's a prophet, the last prophet of God. There's a big whirlwind outside of the cave. Guess who was not in the whirlwind? God was not in that whirlwind. There's a big earthquake almost splitting that mountain. Guess who was not in the earthquake? There was a great fire out there. Guess who was not in the flames? God was not in there. Today, churches need noise. Today, churches need heavy, loud instruments. Today, churches need people jumping and throwing their hands everywhere to feel the Spirit of God. And instead,
when finally he heard that still small voice, there was the presence of God. You hear what I'm saying? It's no different with Moses. For 40 years, Moses was out on the Midianite plains, tending to sheep to unlearn all the sins of Egypt. And then there's the burning bush. You guys remember that? And he goes to look. This is weird. This bush is not burning. What's going on here? Exodus chapter 3. This bush is not burning up. And he gets there and the voice says, Moses. Moses. Just a quiet voice. Not a big roar. And he hides his face because he realizes he is in what? The presence of God. God spoke to his men. And that list goes on and on. Samuel, right? With Eli. But anyway, let's get past that. Okay. Man, that's 4,000 years ago. That's 3,000 years ago. Well, just like in the less than 200 years ago, God was speaking to the prophetess Ellen White in visions and dreams. Can you agree? Okay, I got to be careful. Do we all believe that Ellen White, appointed by God as his prophet in our modern times? Some believe, some don't. Okay, we will leave that as a sermon for another day. But we believe in the spirit of prophecy, in the writings of Ellen White, inspired writings. Agreed? Who inspires these writings? Otherwise, we don't want it. Okay? So in just these last couple of centuries, God is still doing this. John on the island of Patmos, John the Revelator, he goes in vision, right? He says he's in vision and he's taken to the throne room and the very voice of Jesus Christ is saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of, and the end. Write these things down. God has spoken to his people through the ages, but it's not always just a face-to-face voice. God speaks to us in visions, in dreams, in his word, and through other people. Amen? If all we do is listen to the preacher in the pulpit, if all we do is listen to the preacher in the pulpit and take his word for it, are we assured of salvation? You got to work it out yourself. You got to search the scriptures. You got to fall on your knees before God. You got to ask him to open your eyes. You got to ask him to clean out your heart. You have to do that. You don't depend on a preacher to do that for you. Way too many Christians think that's enough. That's okay. I'm here to tell you today it is not. You got to get in the word yourself. You have to open this word right here, read the words, especially those red letters, and know what God expects of you, not what somebody up here tells you you need to be doing. I'm moving past some stuff here because I know my time is running. But listen, there was another story told about three soldiers walking across the deck of an aircraft carrier. That's quite a walk. And all of a sudden, somebody yells out, drop! Three soldiers, two drop instantly to the deck. Didn't look around, didn't wonder who said that. They obeyed instantly and dropped. Third guy looks around and an airplane takes him out. You see? They knew the voice of their commanding officer, and they obeyed instantly, and it saved their lives. Who is your commanding officer? Are you sure? And when he tells you to do something, do you just do it? Or do you got a bunch of questions for God? Or you ask him, can I do that next week? Or you ask him, let me get through this degree plan first, and then I could kind of give my life to you some, Lord. I mean, you think about, see that picture, three soldiers in their uniforms walking across an aircraft carrier. And they just hear somebody yell out, drop, and they recognize the voice. They don't look around and say, yes, sir. They just drop. And that's the only way they survive this thing. We got some stuff coming down upon us today, this year, next year. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I don't. But I'm seeing some things happening around me. I'm hearing some things happening. And if that doesn't point that Jesus is already on his way, I don't know what else needs to happen before I believe Jesus is near. Okay? So when I hear God say move, I better be ready to move. When I hear God say stop and talk to this person, they need help, I better be able to get off of my busy schedule and be obedient to the voice of God. Amen? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 10, 27 and 28. As the praise team comes up, a couple of last words here. Let me ask you a question. Who is in your head today? And who stays in your head? We all hear voices talking to us. And I'm not talking about the crazy stuff. I'm not talking about that. Y'all watch too much TV. But we have voices in our heads. Everybody is talking to us, and everybody wants to be the controlling voice, your boss, your church people, your neighbor, your friends, okay? God, the devil, everybody's in your head talking to you, and everybody wants to be the controlling voice. Which voice are you listening to? Every minute of every day, young people, listen to me carefully, because I know. Every minute of every day, there's a voice telling you to do something and it's not good. Okay? Every minute of every day, there's a voice telling you that you're not pretty enough, that you're not smart enough. Every minute of every day, this voice is in your head. Somebody is telling you you're not worth it. But there's another voice in there you're not hearing sometimes, and it's always there. What am I talking about, Ron? Jesus says in a still, small voice, in a quiet tone, you are worth it because I laid my life down for you. You are worth it because I left heaven for you. You are beautiful because I made you in my own image. Don't listen to this world telling you you got to look like a Barbie doll and be skin and bones and whatever, and then you're attractive. God is seeing your heart, and your heart can be very ugly. My heart can be very ugly, but that's what God is interested in. Not that Marcus needs to lose about 12 or 15 pounds. Don't you say amen. But God is there in your head. He's that voice. And you all have heard the story about the two wolves, the good and the bad. And one grows stronger and stronger and stronger. And one grows weaker and weaker. Why? Because you're feeding one. You can only feed one. A man cannot serve two masters. Which voice in your head are you listening to? Are you obedient to? Many are obedient to the voice of Satan. And it might not be Lucifer himself speaking, but his agencies, his people, his institutions are speaking in your head. It's okay to accept this. It's okay to do this. You better be compassionate to this one. You better let them have their way. And you know what? It's not bad if you do this. It's not bad if you do. The whole world is doing it. It's okay. Which voice are you listening to? When Jesus Christ says, the gate is narrow. The gate is narrow. You want to go home? I'm going to tell you something. An 18-wheeler isn't fitting through that gate. A Kawasaki Ninja motorcycle is fitting through that gate. You better be lean and trim and fit in the Word of God. If you want to go home, you better be reading, studying, learning. Every day you start again. You don't know it all. You don't know everything. God knows everything. And you have God. And that's how you have everything. That man said, I got nothing. Now he knows through the voice of God, he has everything. I called y'all up and I just keep running my mouth. I apologize. I promise I'm on the last paragraph here. There's a popular phrase you guys know called ride or die. What is that? My ride or die. Huh? I'm going to tell you a little story. No, I'm not even, you know what? I know y'all got a thing and I called you up. We're going to skip the story. But in a nutshell, because this story is from Florida, but I'm going to leave that alone for another day. I'll share that with you. My ride or die is the one I trust completely. They got my back. They won't betray me. And if I get in trouble, guess what? They're getting in trouble with me. I trust them entirely and completely. Who is your ride or die? I had friends when I was your age that I thought that's my ride or die. I don't know where on this continent they are anymore. I don't know. Clearly, that wasn't my ride or die. We see children go through things that cause them to take their lives. We see marriages crash and burn. We see so much failure. Why? They thought they were the ride or die. They thought they knew they were strong enough. That bond was unbreakable. The only bond that is unbreakable is at the foot of the cross. There's nothing else on God's green earth. There's nothing else you can say it can't fail. It can't change. Yeah, I know I can count on this. They say you can take that to the bank. Uh-uh. There's only one thing, a relationship with Jesus Christ when you are at the foot of the cross, not from a distance. In closing, the book of Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anybody hears my voice, if anyone hears my voice, if Sierra hears my voice, if Olivia hears my voice, if Jason hears my voice, whoever hears my voice and opens that door, you see that? You don't just got to hear God's voice. You have to open your heart to God. Knowing of God is not enough. It doesn't mean you know God. You want to know God, you got to have a conversation with God. You got to listen to God. You have to listen to the voice. It says, listen to my voice. My sheep hear my voice. They listen, they follow me, and I take care of them. They will not perish. Nobody will pluck them from my hand. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. A quick word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this message this morning. I know that it applies to each and every one of us. It applies to me. But it only works when we open our hearts to you and we believe this is true. It only works when we learn that we on our own have nothing. But if we would listen to your voice and be obedient to you, there will come a day where we will have everything, eternity, a home in heaven, a walk side by side, literally and physically, with your son Jesus. We thank you for your promises. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.